Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I explore what's becoming a spiritual revolution in this country. There's a thinning of the veils between the dimensions, and people are tapping into higher knowledge and greater wisdom and a greater part of themselves. Tonight's guest is working along those lines, and she's very tuned in. She's a spiritual counselor. She's a great intuitive. Her name is Diana Harris, and she has a website called Sacred Spiral Dance. Diana, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You know, when I met you, you were able to just immediately tap into things and feel things and sense animal spirits. I mean, it didn't seem like you were really working at it, they were just coming to you. Can you describe that process? Is it something you've always had? And how do you do it?
At this point now, it's almost like breathing. I don't know how to explain how I do it. I think I did a lot of self-work, a lot of self-analysis, because I think all of us are intuitive. I learned to listen to the voice of my intuition more so than the voice of my doubts and fears and all the other stuff that I've ingested. What other people have said, what I've learned, the shoulds and the coulds. I guess I basically have kind of learned to get out of my own way and just to be more receptive. And like I said, I think everyone's born with intuition, but usually by the age of 4 or 5, we get bombarded with the shoulds, the coulds, approvals, and judgments, and et cetera, and we begin to doubt ourselves, and we kind of blend in with the rest of the crew that we're around, if that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. So how come your channels remained open in a way, and you never went through those same things that other people went through?
Oh, I sat down for a long time, Alan, to tell you the truth. I was raised to be very, very, very logical. You know, I'm an ex-communications engineer by trade. But, you know, when you're born very, very sensitive, and I was born very, very sensitive, you never really 100% shut down. So the information that I wouldn't allow myself to receive during daylight hours, I received at night in my dreams, or sometimes in hunches. And so I've always been, like some people call it awake. I've at least been half awake. The rest of it I had to work on. You know, I woke up again at 30, and I really began to realize that there was something more. The things that I knew, it wasn't a fluke. The things that I knew really, really had some credibility. They really did come from a source outside of myself, or as I would say now, the greater part of myself. The part of myself that is divine and that's connected to the divine. And so I begin to attend to it.
Yeah, but I'm just curious about what your process of awakening was. How did it suddenly, like, spring upon you that you were really this divine part and you weren't the part that was working the 9-to-5 job, or that wasn't who you really were?
I had a little help. Sometimes the universe brings people into your life to kind of, like, sound the gong. I was in the metaphysical bookstore, and I used to go there quite often. So you can kind of say I was always a seeker. And this woman came up to me, and she says, "You and I really need to talk." And she told me things about myself that no one knew. No one in my circle of friends, no one, maybe even in my family, actually. And part of me was like, "Oh boy, what is this?" And then another part of me was like, "Be quiet, listen." And she says, I think you and I need to talk." And she told me that she was an intuitive, And she gave me her card, and she says, I would love to do your numerology, and I would love to tell you more about yourself. And she says, let's meet for tea one day. And she gave me her card, and we chit-chatted, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, you don't know who you are, and you, at the age of 44, you're going to be full board. And I didn't know what the heck she was talking about. I kind of didn't want to. Yeah, so you know me. I'm a little curious. You met me, so you know how I am. So a couple of weeks later, I called her. We chit-chatted about a little bit of everything. And I ended up at her house for tea, and she asked me for my birthday, you know, my birthday information and my name on my birth certificate. And she says, I want to do a mini chart for you. When I got to her house over tea, she went over my chart. She told me things in my history that no one knew. She told me she told me things that were going to happen pretty much over the next 10 years. And since that time, I had moved, and I had lost the chart. But I remember some things that she said. She said, at 44 years old, you're going to know who you are. It's 44 years old. You're going to be full board. At 44 years old, I had left corporate America, and I was doing this work full time.
Wait, so what happened at 44 then? What launched you in this career?
I walked away from a really good job in corporate America.
Must have come online for you to do that.
I woke up again.
What was it that you felt happened to you that you were able to walk away?
I felt like I didn't fit anymore. I felt that I didn't. I felt that I didn't fit, but it was something even more than that. My soul didn't feel at home. I used to love what I did, and my soul didn't feel at home anymore in that environment. And also, I began to see things around people, and I knew a lot more than people gave me credit for.
Oh, I see. These kind of psychic sense really woke up in you then.
Oh, it was awake at 30, but at 43, almost at 44, it was unbelievable. I'm like, I don't belong here anymore. I really know what's going on here. This is not me. It does not feel comfortable. It does not feel like home to me anymore. So I left.
Because you're so good. You can really tap into levels. And do you think this could ever become into the corporate world? Is there a place? Because the program I'm doing is to make that bridge between, you know, people like you and maybe me and the corporate world or the mainstream world.
Yeah, I think that eventually that we're going to have a society that is not going to be separation. You know, I also do some healing work. And, you know, I do a lot of talking about healing work. And healing is not just medicine. We think it's medicine, you know. In layman's terms, it means like going to the doctor, dealing with the pharmaceutical industry. I have a vision for corporate America and also for the medical arena as well, that people like me are working in conjunction with traditional doctors and you know, even in the corporate environment to bring a new energy into those environments and to bring a new perception or a greater awareness into those environments. In the medical arena, you know, I think that if people like me were in that arena, we wouldn't have a lot of the invasive testing. We can scan the human body without cutting and probing.
Well, let's talk about, like, you've seen the future in a way. What do you see is coming to for our society along these lines, because I think you've tapped into that, and share a little bit, because it's not if they would. There is a change coming, and
it is already in it, of
consciousness. So what do you see? What timelines are you seeing? Give us some of that intuition.
I actually think that we have probably about 15, 16 years of a lot of hard work.
Hard work?
I think that we're going to see what we saw a lot of this year. You know, I think we're going to see, what we're going to see is a crumbling of the structures that refuse to change and refuse to adapt.
Like, which structures? Yeah.
The corruption, excuse me, the corruption within government. I think we're
right.
going to see a lot of that exposure. We're also beginning to see that what one person does or what one community does have repercussions and it affects other people in other communities, even across oceans. As we saw in our own economic, that fiasco that happened in Wall Street.
Right, right.
So that's what we're going to see. And
more of it, huh?
We're going to see more of this. We're going to see all the, in a way, it's a good thing because it teaches us what real responsibility is. You know, the question is, am I my brother's keeper? We are.
Well, that's what government's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being your brother's keeper. But it's also about, I guess, what people are about or should be.
Yeah, well, you know, government is just a system. But what I do, what I think, how I perceive the world, I'm sending that energy out. What you think about the world, whether you think it's positive or negative or whatever, all of our thought forms exist together. All of our thought forms create the world.
Right.
So we're not separate after all. So the things that are going on now, people talk about Armageddon and all of this, that's not really what it is. Universe is reflecting back to us our thought processes. So as soon as we change our values and our thought processes, the sooner our world changes. The world is basically our mirror.
Meaning collectively, then.
Right, collective consciousness. You know, we always talk about we are one, and we say the words, but we really don't understand that we are one.
We are actually one mind.
Right.
We
one
are
one heart, technically.
One heart, but people are acting against themselves.
Yes.
So.
You know,
so you're saying in about 15 years the planet will actually know that we're one heart and one mind?
I think that we're learning it now. I think that we learned some really tough lessons in 2008.
Well, what do you think we learned in 2008?
I think that we learned that we aren't separate. I think that
How did we learn that? What example?
It can't be me anymore. It can't be ego, my.
But how did we learn that in 2008? What showed up in 2008?
Politically? Look at the auto bailout.
Right.
Look at the greed and corruption there. People woke up and said, no more of this. Look at Wall Street.
I see.
You understand
what I'm
saying?
Well, but they did bail out Wall Street, and they...
Well, yeah.
I don't know what they're doing with the auto bailout, but personally, I don't think... The auto industry is very in touch with the needs of the people, and they keep mass-producing cars that nobody buys. Well, no wonder they're bankrupt. Their demand and their supply are out of balance.
Right. But see, no one buying from them is teaching them something.
But is it? I mean, are they willing to restructure? I don't know. Let's hope it is. It is teaching them something. I don't know.
You know what? This is how I see it. If they don't reevaluate from a higher perspective and they try to recreate what they had before, it's going to crumble again. And the universe...
Well,
no,
but
it
is. Anyway, I see that there... But what do you think of Obama as a leader?
I think that he is the beginning.
Of a change.
I think that he's the beginning of a change. I believe that, honestly, I some people say he's a lighted being. You know, I don't think that he is aware of it from a spiritual perspective. I think that he is aware that he has a mission. I don't know if he sees that mission as a spiritual mission.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense to me, yeah. I would say that, he doesn't. He's not aware of his spiritual qualities. He's trying to mainstream. He's trying to fit in, which is, you know, how he got the job. But yeah, he needs someone like you to turn on the light for him.
I think that he inherently is a good man.
Yeah.
I think he inherently has a solid value system. I think that his family is going to open the eyes of America and the world and bring back real family values.
What does that mean anyway, family values?
I think the way what we think about what power is.
Yeah.
We never think that power is love. We think that power is aggression.
And control. You're right. That's good.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's not so much, I'm going to tell you what a real family values are, but I think to watch him interact with his wife, to watch him interact with his children, to watch him interact even with his staff, the way that he is going to hold his power is different. And it's going to suddenly teach us something about what real power is. Because
real power
is held softly.
I think he's a real public servant for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
Here to serve the needs of the people who elected him.
Absolutely.
Not his own greed.
So
that's a change. That's a change.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's going to have a hard time. So what do you see coming up in 2009? That he's
I think
have
it's
to
interesting how he's chosen his staff. I think it's very interesting. Because in the future, you know, we have a Democratic Party and a Republican Party.
Yeah.
And I think that in the future of politics, I don't believe there's going to be two parties.
What will there be? More than two or one?
I don't even know if... I think it's going to be a collection of individuals working toward a common goal.
So it won't be parties at all?
No.
It'll be more individual.
It will be a collective. Yeah, it'll be a collection of individuals. It could be representative of every religious group that you could ever, you know, believe in. It's going to be cross boundaries. I'm going to really go out on a limb and say that we are learning that we create the boundaries, that there really aren't boundaries. And I think that the new leadership that's coming to not only just America, but to the world, they're going to be crossing cultural boundaries, religious boundaries, political boundaries, because we all have to work together. I don't think that Obama said, this is what I'm forming, but I think that he's the beginning of that formation of a new type of government.
So we'll see the breakdown of the two-party system, then, you're saying?
Eventually, in time.
Uh-huh. Well, that's
maybe
good.
I think so, too.
Yeah, we don't need...
I think so, too.
Well, that's not in the Constitution anyway, that there's two parties, and like most countries have, you know, five parties in government or more, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think that sounds right. So, but that'll be a slow process over the next couple of years. But do you see the country falling apart, splitting up? Is there a lot of people that predicted that? I think even Edgar Cayce and many people have seen visions from the future said that the country itself will split into five regional smaller countries or areas like that. Do you see that?
Do I see that in the short term? No. I see a lot of fear-mongering going on, but I think that the reason that we will have the fear-mongering is because of the old structures not wanting to change. I think that light's going to prevail.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
I really do.
So what do you see coming up in 2009, then?
In 2009, I'd probably keep my eye on Russia.
On Russia as an aggressor?
As something.
You don't want to say, or you're not getting a clear image? Come on, tell us what your guys are telling you. I want to know.
I want to know.
Don't get in the way there. I think your guides really want to say something. And, no, I'm just curious what you're tuning into.
I think... Russia has some harsh lessons to learn about power.
Uh-huh.
In particular, manipulation.
Yeah.
And oppression. How that pans out, I'm not really, really sure.
All right. All right.
And that's I don't see a war with Russia. I see a lot of internal conflict within Russia, and I actually see Russia trying to control potentially oil lines or oil pipelines.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And that's what I can say, honestly.
Okay, okay. What about internally in the U.S.? Do you see anything like going on, anything interesting happening with, you know, the country itself or the economy? Will the economy get better or worse? I mean, I know, who knows, but I think you're tapped into something. So I'm just curious what, if you want to go there, we don't have to.
Okay.
But
I think that Obama has a lot of work cut out for him, but I think that we, meaning Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, a lot of people really do have hope, but also a lot of people are more willing now to take responsibility for the choices and for participating in the changes that we need to make. So that's the positive thing about 2008. Too many things happen that the American people can no longer have their heads in the sand, so to speak. We cannot continue to deny that there has been economic mismanagement within this company. We cannot deny that we have some serious environmental concerns. We have some serious health care reform issues to deal with. We can no longer deny that there's been an abuse of power within our own government.
Well, the majority of people don't deny these things. It's just the government itself is not acknowledging it, I suppose. So that's going to come out. Saying.
That's coming out, but I think more and more people are going to demand to be informed.
Well,
instead of waiting for Daddy to take care of us.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I elected so-and-so, that group or that person or that individual is going to represent me. I think more and more people, more citizens, are going to say, I'm not trusting that anymore. I want to be informed. I want to know.
Right. No, I get that. I get that. And I think that's just, it's already happening in many ways. But do you see anything interesting for 2012? Everyone's talking about December 21st, 2012.
Right. There's been all kind of predictions, like we're going to beam up to another planet. That's not going to happen. Armageddon's not going to happen.
I'm disappointed.
Darn.
There you go. What do you
see
coming?
I do see there probably are going to be some more earth changes, and those changes are because...
When you say earth changes, what do you mean by earth changes?
Well, we see the earth changes now, like the irregular weather patterns that we've had, the flooding of certain regions and areas, even the fires. I think that they are definitely going to be some more climate changes.
I see. Dramatic climate changes.
Yes. I don't see Armageddon, but I see some more climate changes, erratic weather patterns.
Yeah.
But I think all of these changes that I am sensing, seeing, feeling are going to propel people to work together. To pull together.
Okay, I'm with you. So, but you don't see UFOs coming? I mean, I know you spoke about it. But there's a lot of people who say that, and I do believe the government is hiding what they know about. They are.
Of course.
But don't you think they're going to make themselves more known in the next couple of years or not?
I think some of them are walking among us.
Right.
Already.
But do you see it actually coming out in public that, you know, we are part of a galactic... Do you see that? No.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
No, I mean, well, not next year, but
okay.
I mean,
when do you see that actually unfolding publicly?
Within the latter, well, I would probably say more, I'd say within the next six years.
Okay.
Because I think honestly, in order for us to survive, that we're going to need the assistance of our galactic brothers and sisters.
Oh, but really?
As far as surviving
the Earth changes, you think we're going to need them?
We're going to need them. I think we're going to need their technologies.
Well, some people say we already have a lot of their technology, but they're going to make it. So these are our intense Earth changes you're talking about then?
Yes.
Okay, like the axis tilting?
Pole shift. The pole shift.
You actually see, because I just talked to someone else recently, I did an interview, and he mentioned a pole shift as well.
It's going to be a pole shift, yes, it really is going to be a pole shift.
What happens in a pole shift? Can you just, does that like happen within like a day?
I see it as like 3 days.
3 days, the Earth, like the North Pole becomes the South Pole, right?
I don't know how drastic, I don't think it's that drastic of a shift, but I think it is a shift. it's going to be a noticeable shift. It's going to be blackouts. It's going to be like days without power.
Is it going to be like flooding the coastal cities?
Some of them.
Because if the Earth does shift, if there's a pole shift, it means, you know, the oceans definitely move their boundaries, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's serious. So, yeah. You're not going to be in Boston, are you? Or maybe
I'm leaving. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you'll let us know. But, you know, in this time, and I think this is what your work is about, more and more people are opening up to these higher spiritual dimensions. So let's talk about that, because that's how I kind of introduced the show. It's the thinning of the veils. You know,
right,
it's like
right.
as if there's a film being taken off our psychic centers, and this awareness is being lifted throughout
right.
a lot of the population. Talk about like this bleed through of dimensions that you're aware of.
It almost goes back to that oneness thing I was speaking of. You know, and from what I've been shown, you know, because people talk about, you know, the pyramids were built by slaves, et cetera, et cetera. That's really not true.
I don't believe that either.
It's not true. We're going to be rediscovering or remembering these old technologies. You can call them Lemurian, Atlantean, or even pre-Atlantean or pre-Lemurian. And things were moved with the mind. So there was
levitated with the mind.
Yes, absolutely. And there's nothing more powerful than a collective, a group of people focusing on an object to move that object. And so
that's how they did the Egyptian pyramid. The people focused on lifting those stones, and they lifted.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is galactic technology.
It's human technology, too. We have that potential.
Right. Yeah, we're seeds.
So how many people does it take to lift a stone? How much mental power does it take to change a light bulb? No, how do they do that? Is that the technology, how we actually link our minds together in order to come into that alignment to move matter? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but what you just said, how we link our minds together. People don't understand, if I have an intention, it's a prayer.
Yeah.
Intention and prayer are the same thing.
And if two or more people have that same intention, it's multiplied.
So,
and thoughts are things. Intention is energy. That's
so
why quantum works, because...
I'm sorry, I lost you a little bit.
No, I'm saying that's why quantum physics works. That's why the observer expects the experiment, because where the observer puts their attention, it influences subatomic particles. I mean, that's really at the basis of quantum theory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
So you're saying if we link our intentions, then we actually can move things together?
We can change our world.
Right. Like, the weather, I guess they used to do that with the weather. But what do you mean we can change our world? How? How
we
do you see that?
We can change our world. So as we go through these shifts, they may be drastic, they may not be as drastic. That's the thing that I don't know. But I know that we are, there is going to be a shift of the axis. How drastic that's going to be, I can't tell you. But
right.
I also see people surviving that.
And how do they survive it? What did they have to do, or were they just in the right place?
Maybe it's the right mind.
Ah. So give us a little, what is that mind? Tell us. You'll be the conduit for the galactic energies.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So those of us that have chosen to be here through this shift,
mm-hmm.
whether it's subtle or not so subtle, we're here for a purpose.
Right.
And if we focus on love
mm-hmm.
and hold that vibration of love,
mm-hmm.
I think that we have the ability to manipulate how strong that shift is. You understand what I'm saying?
Are you talking from your guides as you kind of stop and start?
Yes.
Is that your guidance? It is.
Yep. They are like, what I'm being told is to hold the light.
Hold the light?
Hold the light.
How do you
hold
do that?
Hold the light. To
how
be
would
still
you hold
on
the light? Inside
to
of
hold
us.
Hold the light. To hold, as we go through these shifts, as we go through, say, during the tsunami.
Yeah.
That's an example, right?
Yeah.
So many people are talking about how horrible it was. It was horrible. But what we can do is to send light to those places, to send healing energy to those places, to send positive energy to those places that are impacted by Earth's changes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And that will help people survive.
That will help people survive.
Okay.
In shamanic traditions, when, especially in the Native, well, I did a lot of studying in the Native American culture, when there were tribes and there, and one tribe would hear about a famine in a particular area or a drought or something in a particular area. Instead of going, oh, how horrible that is, what they would do as a collective is that they would sit and they would sit in circle and they would send, if it was a famine or a drought, they would send rain. They would visualize rain. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So instead of saying, oh, my God, those poor people, They would sit together as a collective, and they would visualize rain so much that they could feel it.
And that would create it.
And it would help to create it. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, so that's the technology, the power of the mind that we are evolving to.
And it's really not the power of the mind, it's the power of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power of the soul.
What do you mean by the power of the soul?
The soul is stronger than the mind.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, okay.
The power of the soul is stronger than the mind. What we came here to learn, really, Alan, is right now society is like the mind rules the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But really, in reality, what we came here as a collective, as a humanity, to learn is let the mind execute divine will. So if you want to call that technology, that's fine.
So it's
allow
the heart,
the mind,
you're saying, that is
yes.
the... I see. Now, I guess you talked about, but this is what people need to tap into, that power. And how do they do that? This is what I've been trying to talk about and tell people and understand for myself. What's the best way to tap into that power of the soul?
Of the soul?
Yeah.
They call that faith.
Faith. But what does that mean?
All of us believe in something.
Well, I don't really think it's about belief. It's about knowing, in a way. It's about experience.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to...
We believe either in fear or we believe in love.
I see.
So your God is either fear or your God is love.
Right.
It's
okay.
Only two choices. So,
right.
So people say, well, I'm an atheist. I'm like, no, you're not an atheist because you believe in something. You either believe in love or fear. That's your God.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with Yahweh, Jehovah, or whatever other God names we have.
Mm-hmm.
Your God is either fear or love.
And if it's fear, it's fear because that's what people have experienced. You know, it's not like it's not like they chose that consciously. It's an unconscious reaction. I think choosing love means you have to then undo the unconscious reaction and consciously make a choice then.
Yeah.
So that's the position the planet is in as in general, would you say?
It's choosing love. All of us are ascending. Mother Earth is a spirit just like us.
Uh-huh.
She's a soul. And she, all of us made a soul promise.
What?
Mother Earth is a soul. And her soul's promise was to provide humanity, her children, a classroom in which to learn that we are not separate from God.
Okay.
So, Mother Earth as a soul, as a living, breathing entity, and some call her Gaia, is a soul. She goes, I am going to incarnate, and my sole purpose is to provide God's children, my children, an environment in which to learn to remember their divinity. Everything that occurs on my body, on Earth, is going to serve to teach our children, meaning humanity, that we are not separate from God.
Right. I get that. Are you in touch with the soul of Gaia?
I talk to Gaia, yes.
What is Gaia saying that we should do to help her?
She said to grow up.
Which means what, though? What is that? What? How does that look? What are we supposed to do?
Instead of talking about it, participate in it.
In what?
Spirituality is not a thing of something we do on Sunday.
Right.
It's not separate. Our lives are our spirit. The choices that we make are spirit. The choices that we make shape our future.
Right. So what can we do for the Earth? Besides grow
up. Treat her with respect. And stop being so egotistical. And to think that stop being so egotistical, thinking that we're smarter than animals, or we're smarter than nature, or that our technology is smarter than the consciousness of Mother Earth. Everything
right.
that we need to learn, Mother Earth taught us. If we watch the seasons teach us the law of process.
Uh-huh. Right. So be more in touch with actually the movement and the rhythm of the Earth itself.
Absolutely.
That will help us.
Yeah. So she's the classroom and the teacher. Our brothers and sisters, the animals, teach us. They represent certain virtues.
Mm. Right. You do a whole thing connecting to animals.
Absolutely.
Now, but animals have their own... souls. Are the animals have collective souls, or do the animals have individual souls?
They have individual souls just like we do, but we're all part of the same collective.
And do animals reincarnate as like a cat reincarnates as a cat? Or do they kind of...
Humans, if you decide, Alan, that you want to come back as a cat, you can do that too.
I can do that?
Yeah.
No, because I thought humans just incarnate as humans and animals just incarnate as animals.
No.
No, so you've met animals that were humans, huh?
Absolutely. And I've met people that used to be animals, too.
Oh, really? I guess we've all met everything.
So we can incarnate in any way that we want to.
But do these people or these animals remember having been people? Just like we don't really remember who we've been. Do these animals remember more than we do?
Yes. Animals have talked to me and told me who they used to be in another life. They told me I used to be a guy named Peter, blah, 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 you know.
Boy.
And I chose to come back to as someone's pet to help this person through a particular part of their life. And I'm talking about a particular animal that was helping a woman with her cancer.
Wow. And the animals there. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize animals, people could be go back. But they, so
can I tell you something funny? Can I tell you something funny? They're actually smarter than us.
Who's smarter than us?
Animals are smarter than us.
In which way? Intuitively.
Because they honor their instincts. Humanity's instincts, they honor their instincts. They stay true to their instincts. They live close to Mother Earth, and they still hear her heartbeat. We live in high-rises. We very rarely go outside. So we cannot hear Mother Earth's heartbeat. How many of us really actually spend time in nature? If you want to understand your true nature, get back to nature. Spend time outside. Walk barefoot when you can.
I go barefoot as much as I can. But because our nature is our human nature. Our bodies are a part of nature. People forget that.
Absolutely.
Right. We are nature.
We are nature.
We're living, breathing nature.
Right.
So, just getting a little bit, because we have just another about maybe 8 minutes or so, I just want to get people more in touch with how it is that you do what you do so people can do it too. Like, when you're listening to your guides, how are they talking to you? What's going on for you?
I think I can explain this kind of easily. Okay. I want to talk about prayer. Prayer is us talking to God.
Right.
Meditation is putting ourselves in a receptive state.
Okay.
We don't take the time to put ourselves in a receptive state because we've allowed ourselves to become human doings instead of human beings.
Uh-huh.
So if someone wants to reconnect to their divine self, allow yourself to be. Society teaches us to do. So we become human doings.
Right, right.
So if we want to reconnect to heaven to get a tune-up, allow yourself some time to just be. So my meditation could be different than yours. I have a friend. She is a runner. When she gets in the zone, she gets insight from her guides.
Right.
Right. So
everybody has guides around them, huh?
Of course, yeah.
But is that an aspect of them, or is it actually a consciousness that exists separate from us? I mean, not that there's any separation, but the way you're separate from me, that's what guides are.
You have guardian angels.
Yes.
You have guides, spirit helpers. It could be part of your ancestry. It could be a being from another dimension, because there are many, many, many dimensions. It could be someone that you had a lifetime with, if you believe in parallel lives or past lives. So
we're never left alone, really, are we? We're always...
We think we're alone.
Well, we always have company.
Yeah, we always have company.
So if everyone has them... Very few people are really listening to them like you are.
And the way to do that is to, if I wanted to get to know you, Alan, I would say, carve out some time in my day to ask you questions, to chit-chat with you, find out what you like, what you don't like. So the way I establish my relationship with my guides is I actually set my butt down because I was busy. And I sat down and I said, okay, I know you're trying to get through to me. So I turned off my TV, unplugged the phones, and I sat with a journal and I sat with my guides and I just got quiet, stilled my mind, and I listened.
How did you know it was your guides and not your own mind or imagination?
Because I didn't force it. Usually our minds try to fill in empty space.
So things
I didn't
just
force it.
You.
Yeah, and I wrote it down.
And you wrote it down.
And I wrote it down, and then I got to the point where I started asking specific questions. And I cultivated a relationship. I started asking them. I would just get information.
Right. And that's how you fine-tune your skill. So yep. Now you could just be in front of somebody and you're hearing something about them or you need to tell them something or that just happens because you did this training. This was your training.
Yeah. It was always there. The thing is, you could do it and not believe it. I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. You know, I was very skeptical. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. I was very skeptical. And I'm like, prove it. But healthy skepticism is good.
So they did prove it to you.
Yeah, they did prove it to me. Yeah.
I see. Well, is something odd happening these days? I mean, I know we've been talking about that, but it's this whole, I don't know, I just feel a lot more energy in my body. Things seem to be more intense. What's going on with all these levels of reality?
We are ascending, whether or not we are conscious of it or not. So our vibration is changing. The vibration of the planet, even though with all this stuff going on, is actually raising.
Uh-huh.
Our individual vibration is raising. You know, you've heard stories about the crystal children, the indigo children. Well, the children coming in have a different DNA than us, or their DNA looks different to me than our DNA. Their vibration, a lot of the new kids coming in, their vibration is a higher vibration to us. Hence, a lot of the sensitivities that these children have. You know, we label it as autism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But these children have different physical requirements than we do.
Because they're the next evolution of our human race.
Absolutely.
Along with the Earth. The Earth is creating this next, it's an evolution.
Yes, absolutely. But we are evolving too because we're still here. So a lot of people, I think it's kind of great. There are a lot of people that were just like me, very corporate or raised to be very, very logical. And a lot of people that I know are like, I'm no longer satisfied. What's this dissatisfaction that I'm feeling? What's this dissatisfaction that I'm not happy? The things that I used to do don't make me happy anymore. And they, all of a sudden, they're making massive changes in life. And it's frightening for them, but they're more content.
Well, I get it. It makes sense. So people are going more with what they're feeling, their intuition. It's getting too hard to do it the other way. I mean, it's just getting...
Right.
We're over it, I think, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, I'm having a hard time sleeping. I just feel this acceleration. It's a little unnerving somehow. It's intense. I feel some intensity, and I don't really know what it is. Can you tell me anything about that?
I think I'm getting it that your soul knows big changes are coming. And the mind, it takes a while for the mind to catch up, and your body, which is your antenna, you know, is responding to the physical frequencies and the physical vibrational changes that are actually occurring on the planet. We're going through a massive healing right now. And then you did ask me for some predictions. We're going to have more of what we started in 2008 with all of the changes. That's going to continue into summer of 2009. And then there's going to be another shift in consciousness in about May or June.
And what will that shift look like in May or June?
It'll be lifter. It'll be lighter. I'm sorry. It'll lift.
That I'm feeling is this acceleration of the earth. It's sort of like the clutch hasn't gone down, but as like we go into like second or third gear, it'll be a little smoother in midsummer.
Yes.
You're saying?
Yep. So May, June, I feel like we go, whew, whew. So we'll know that we would have completed the cycle that we really started in 2008. And that the cycle of 2008, which I didn't really talk about too much, was really a lot of cleansing and purging, and that's hard work.
Right.
It's like
it is hard work. It is.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
individually, collectively, nationally.
Yep.
Well, that's great stuff. I mean, I know there's a lot more that you do. You wanted to just talk about some of your private work, right, because we're almost out of time, just how people
sure.
can get in touch with you and all that.
I am a psychic medium, which means I talk to souls that have crossed over, whether they're animal or whether they're human. I do healing and medical intuition, and I am an intuitive. My purpose here is to empower people, to help them to see their gifts and to understand their challenges. I work with individuals, guides, their angels, and I work with the person's higher self. My job is basically to hold a light so people can be the light that they are.
Right. And if people want to get in touch with you, they can go to your website,
right.
sacredspiraldance.com. Right? That, anything else you want to tell them?
I actually have a monthly newsletter that I send out. You can go to my website, sacredspiraldance.com, and sign up for my newsletter. There's a lot of good information. I do a forecast for the month. I talk about things that may be going on cosmically. I talk about earth changes. Sometimes I respond to people's questions, not so much individually, but sometimes people email me questions about what's going on collectively, the things that you were talking about, Alan, that you see or you feel that there's a major shift and you're feeling it physically. How can I handle that? I answer questions like that in my newsletter as well.
Right. Thank you, Diana. I really appreciate all your information, everything you're doing. Hopefully you'll be back in New York. And
I am.
And well, let me know. We'll do a television show, okay?
That would be awesome. And I want to say one more thing real quick. 2009 is an 11 year. 11 is a master number. 2009 is going to be a year where all of us learn the true meaning of partnership. A lot of us are going to wake up. You are waking up, Alan, your sensitivities, but there are going to be more and more people that are waking up as well. A lot of people are going to wake up to their own intuition. They're going to learn to trust their feelings, and they're going to learn to follow their feelings and follow their gut. This is a year of ascension for us. And it's going to be a really, really good year. We're going to be moving onward and upward.
Great. That does sound great. I'm happy about that because everyone always has some doom and gloom, but I think there's a great light, you know, coming at the end of the tunnel there. And,
it really is.
I think we're moving into a great planet, a great planetary awakening, and it's a time of upliftment for everyone. So,
yes.
It feels like that. I think the future will be positive and a real blessing for the planet. So, thank you. I've been talking to Diana Harris. That is sacredspiraldance.com. This is Alan Steinfeld. And if you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website that will be premiering in the next few days, newrealities.com. Thank you for tuning in, and next week I have Kurt Johnson. We'll be talking about Ken Wilber's Spiral Dynamics and the Theory of Everything and the integration of body, mind, and spirit. So thank you for listening. This is New Realities.